Trying to put this together since I was first elected 3 years ago. We have a number of infrastructure issues throughout the city, and what we're looking to do is to see how we can develop long-term management plans for our infrastructure, not just react to failures, but develop maintenance plans so that we can maintain our infrastructure and avoid costs. See how we can stretch our dollars more. And from time to time around the city, just like in any city, things happen and we need engineering expertise. And what I'm hoping to see this committee operate as is kind of like a consulting team to help guide council and the staff on how we can, you know, best manage our infrastructure and make this the best city we can make it. To get started, why don't we go around and introduce ourselves and tell a little bit about your background for everybody else. Matt, maybe you could start.
Just real quickly, this is a Brown Act meeting, so it is a public, anybody can attend. So it is being recorded. I just want everyone to be careful and understand that the recording is simply for potential, and it'll be posted on our website. So, you know, to comply with the Brown Act, I just want you all to know in advance before we get started. Okay,
so I'm Matt Ulukaya. I work for AECOM, Technical Services in Orange County. I am a civil engineer, have a master's in civil engineering and an MBA. I work in the transportation industry, so most of my projects are transportation projects, but mostly airport projects. So my clients are the airports throughout California, a little bit Arizona and Nevada, and you know, we try to reach out other states, but California has more than 300 airports, so it keeps us busy just to stay in California. And I've been with the company for 27 years, and I live in Buller Park for the last 7 years. Before that, I lived in Orange for 20 some years, so I'm pretty local here, and I'm happy to be part of this infrastructure advisory committee, and hopefully some of my knowledge and experience will benefit the community and the city. So I love the city, so that's really motivates me.
And Matt also has the distinction of living right across the street from the failed Henderson sperm bank.
I'm Dave Moritz. My wife and I moved here about 4 years ago. I have a bachelor's of science degree in civil engineering from Cal Poly Pomona. I'm actually a licensed land surveyor, so you know, full disclosure, I'm not a professional engineer, I'm a licensed land surveyor, there's a difference. I've worked for SOMAS I've just got braces on, by the way, so I'm having a horrible time figuring out how to talk. I've worked for SOMAS for 24 years, and we do a lot of infrastructure projects, a lot of transportation, highway, railroad, and pipeline projects. I'm a vice president of the firm, and I run a survey team down in Orange County. We're at the 55 in MacArthur down there. So, the most recent thing that really kind of got me interested in this committee was the pipeline project that I worked on for Southern California Gas Company, where they're replacing a lot of their aging infrastructure, their old pipelines, and it was a result of the San Bruno explosion that you might remember back in 2010. And getting into this pipeline program really made me understand the importance of pipeline integrity and understanding aging infrastructure and getting it dealt with before something like San Bruno happens. So kind of piqued my interest in aging infrastructure and wanting to be part of this. So hopefully I can contribute with my engineering education and surveying background. Glad to be part of the team here.
And we do have a major pipeline that goes through our city.
Yeah.
It's a 16-inch, 1,600 PSI petroleum pipeline. I believe it brings all the petroleum products from the refineries in Los Angeles down to San Diego. So you buy gasoline in San Diego, airplane fuel, whatever, down in San Diego, it comes through the city.
They are everywhere. You just don't
and,
always know it.
Yeah. That pipeline failed on November 22nd of 1986. And spilled 500,000 gallons of premium unleaded right into San Diego Creek above Upper Newport Bay. So things do happen.
Yeah.
So it's we need to be aware of what that facility is and be prepared to deal with it. Vince?
Good morning. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for being part of the committee. This has been a brainchild of Bob's and something that I have aggressively pushed for some time now, and it's really just a testament to our community that we have such intelligent, bright people that live in our city that want to give back, and I know that you are going to just make our city that much better, and I thank you for that. Background of myself, undergraduate degree from USC Public Administration and Urban Planning, a master's degree in public administration, worked for a small stint, City of Los Angeles, and then went into the private sector. And by profession now, I'm a law enforcement officer working for the state of California. And that's about it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I just want to thank everybody for being here. Steve Franks, I'm the city manager. Been here just about a year. And I think this is great. The community participation is wonderful. Prior to coming here, I spent 34 years with the County of Orange. So I have a little bit of background with all sorts of types of things. Anyway, I appreciate you all being here. I look forward to great, great input, and I'm thinking that this will be a very productive group. So,
Akram Hindia, I'm the city engineer. I've been with City of Villa Park for about a little bit over 6 years. I work for a company called Civil Source. Now it's part of a larger company, which is NV5. And been with them since I started here with Villa Park. Prior to that, been with the City of San Clemente for 26 years. I'm a registered civil engineer and a traffic engineer. I have a BS and MS from San Jose State a long time ago. So, and I have about 40 years experience in engineering, and here I am.
And just so everybody understands the staff resources we have, how many hours a week are you typically here?
Normally is 12 hours a week, Mondays and Wednesdays, 6 hours each day. And as needed then, you know, for a city council meeting or other meetings. And then if we have any type of work that needs to be done, we get the staff from Civil Source to do any design or any preparation for other necessary work that needs to be done.
So that's quite a challenge that Akram has. You've got about 70 lane miles of pavement in the city, and how many miles or so of sanitary sewer?
We'll go over my head on here.
He's
head,
really got a lot to do with.
The mayor's had at least two cups of coffee this morning.
Okay, Paige.
I'm Paige Lawrence. I have a background in civil engineering, MPS in civil engineering. I will hopefully be a registered engineer this year, fingers crossed. I also work for SOMAS in their construction management division out on the Purple Line.
Now?
Yes, I do.
What? We're coworkers?
Yeah. I know. We had
fantastic.
Not met, so just
wow,
now.
Crazy.
Yeah, I grew up in Villa Park, just moved back from the state of Washington actually in September, and I was looking to get involved and excited to be here and kind of start joining the community and figuring out how I can help. So.
That's great.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And Paige doesn't need two cups of coffee. She's always...
Yes, I do.
Good morning. I'm Leah Cabara, and I'm a professional engineer also out of UCI. I spent the last, how long has it been? Too many years to count. So we've owned our own business, Cabara Engineering, since 1990. Before that, I worked for a land development firm, Fusco, for 10 or 14 years, something like that. So I've done a lot of the developments in Orange County and abroad, other counties. So most of our work specializes in infrastructure, much like the city's needs. We do a lot of underground, so storm drain and water and sewer, as well as transportation projects, so roads, highways, and so on. So I'm pleased to be on this committee. I'm hoping to my expertise will help Villa Park be a better place.
Undoubtedly.
Cool. Second generation civil engineer, by the way.
That's fine.
Bill Cabara, worked for Cabara Engineering since 1990. I have a BS in civil engineering, a master's in civil engineering, professional engineer, professional land surveyor. I've been doing this since 1982. Most of my experience has been in municipal engineering for cities throughout from Santa Clarita all the way down to San Clemente. Most of our projects are pavement, water, sewer, storm drain. We're here to help the city. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Well, actually, I'd like to thank the Cabarras for actually turning on the light to think that they're of developing this committee. I was out when I was campaigning for council over three years ago. I stopped by the Cabarras house, and Bill was having his birthday party, so they invited me in for cake, and we got to talking and found out they're engineers, and you know, the idea came up, well, you know, what if we put together a citizens committee of engineers to help us figure out this, our infrastructure management so we can make a better city. So thank you very much. Now's the time for public comment, if there's any. I don't see any other members of the public, but if any
actually, of you... Paige is a member of the public.
Member of the public,
today.
Okay.
So if that's she has true. Comments, she has not been formally appointed by the council, just so as an FYI, so that's the only reason she's a member of the public. Next week at this time, we'll be assuming she's a member.
Yeah.
I have no public comment.
that's a first. Okay. Just to get things started, this is a resident advisory committee. This is not a city council meeting. I'm here, Vince is here as liaisons with the council. We're here to, and we'll continue to be here to talk with you about issues that we see and to get your input and support you in doing whatever plans or studies or, directing, providing oversight over studies to help further your mission of the mission of this committee. So we will be electing a chairman of this committee. It will be one of you, not Vince or I. And that's actually the first item on the agenda is establishing a chair and vice chair. So with that, I'll open up for volunteers or nominations for chairman.
Nominate Leah.
Pardon?
I said I nominate Leah.
Smart husband.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other nominations? Oh, okay. All in favor?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
How do you feel about that, Leah? You good?
I bet you wish you slept in this morning.
Snuck up on me. Are you sure one of the council members wouldn't like to be?
No, this is citizens committee.
So it has to be one of us.
Yeah, it has to be one of you. So since I'll turn the meeting over to you now. Surprise.
You know, I would offer too that. They're liaisons, but I'll certainly help you in any way. I don't want you to feel like you're out on your own. I'm here to help you. So obviously anything you need, we can help. So I just want to extend that.
Thank you. I'll be pleased to accept for the time being. Is this a yearly nomination or is this for Bill? Okay. I guess we'll open it up for nominations for vice chair. This is the next order of business.
Don't look at me. Huh?
Any takers?
I would do it, but am I allowed to do it as a resident?
Not
public? Okay.
You can defer if you want to. You can defer to the vote for the next meeting, in which case she would be a member and you could do it at that point. If you want to do it that way.
Dave was
I wouldn't mind deferring it. I've got a busy career. I'm very good at overcommitting, and I'm trying not to do that. I'm into this thing, but for me to be on a, involved either the chair or vice chair at this time, probably not the best idea for me. So I'd be good with deferring if there seems to be interest.
Well, let's defer to the next meeting then. Or to have Paige join the meeting. So I guess the next order of business is the Brown Act and Form 700 filings.
This is a Brown Act meeting, which is the Ralph A. Brown Act, which basically says these are all public meetings. So you'll see these agendas are posted on our agenda. They're posted outside. And any action, the public is available to attend these. We make sure any accommodations are made or whatever. We have to allow for them to the public to come and speak. It's an open meeting, if you will. So anything that comes here is open. I would also just, you know, as part of the Brown Act and this information you're dealing with, any notes you would take in this meeting are also subject to public display at some point, should you ever write something. So I would encourage you not to scribble some thoughts that come to mind or something, because candidly, those become public notice. So anyway, the other thing too, as a Brown Act, and is Form 700, and the Form 700 is intended to be a disclosure, so there's no conflicts of interest. I think several of you have contacted our city attorney at my recommendation and filled out those forms. It's just not basically a disclosure. The council has to do it. I have to do it. Occam does it. It's just so that we disclose any potential financial interest we might have, so that you don't make a conflicting votes or somebody presumes something. It's an annual filing. Or in the event of this committee, it's assuming office, and then if you were to leave, you'll have to do the same thing, that you're leaving office and filing it. It's a state law, so we're all subject to it, and we'll help make it easy for you, but I just wanted to be aware. I think several of you have done it. If you're not, we need to do it. We file it, so you know, with the FPPC, which is the Fair Practices Commission with the state, and they do keep it on record, and again, that it gets made public. If anyone should be interested, they have access to it for, you know, open government access. So if you haven't turned yours in, I believe several of you have, please turn it into Kim as soon as you can, because it's due 30 days from assuming office. So we'll assume today is opening. So assuming office, so 30 days from today, you have to have your forms completed and on file with the FPPC.
All right? If you haven't done it yet, I would suggest calling the city attorney. He's very helpful.
Yeah, Todd spent the time. I think he
you got an sent an email. Yes, I asked him a question, and he responded, looked it up, and he had to research it a little bit, but he did respond with an email answer.
Yeah, so he helped me out too. So I have my form, so I'm going to leave it with
Thank
Kim.
You.
So just hand those to Kim, I guess.
Okay. Well, you can hand it to me, I'll give it to Kim. Okay. And if, so you've got
if anyone brought theirs, as I did.
All right, thank you, wonderful.
Sorry, that needs a stapler.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you very much. So I think that will be it.
Allow the date, the assuming date. Because that's today. We didn't fill that up.
That's okay. I'm not worried as much.
Okay.
The big issue is just getting turned in on file. And sometimes, I mean, I will caution you, sometimes the FPPC actually looks at these, because they'll send you a note and back sometimes to say, this is incomplete, could you please sign it or whatever, or change the date. That's all. It's not, they look at them, they take them seriously, but it's not like you're, you know, you're in trouble. As long as you file them, you're good.
As far as the meeting minutes for this meeting,
the minutes will be taped, and we'll post the taping, and then I will take minutes. I'll take some reaction minutes. So I'm not going to. This is not a transcription service.
Right.
So if you guys vote to do something, like the vote to have you chair will be recorded, the vote to defer the vice chair. But any discussion we have or any explanation, it wouldn't be listed in detail. They can go listen to the tape if they want to, because we post those.
Oh, okay. So they're not minutes that are issued in
There's
writing.
Some reaction minutes that they will are. Be issued and posted.
Okay.
And we'll approve those subsequent meeting, at each subsequent meeting. And it's just basically the motions or things that you take action for.
And they'll be issued with each board packet or with each committee packet.
Yes. And I'll forward those to you in advance so that we can vote on them in the subsequent meetings.
Very good.
Sounds good.
Okay. No further discussion on the Brown Act. I guess the next item is to review the committee mission, which I think Bob eloquently described a little bit at the beginning. So
I think one of the things, I think I forwarded to all of you the staff report that the mayor and had prepared, which basically outlined the purpose of the committee and sort of the idea. Candidly, it's talks about developing a work plan, an infrastructure management plan are probably the largest, you know, priority, the work plan toward that and that. And it also includes the evaluation of a GIS system and a couple other things. I think I forwarded you the staff report.
Mm-hmm.
We can certainly go back. I know the mayor kind of summarized what was on there today. So we probably don't need to go back through it all, but we've got a task at hand in that, you know, we have basically to develop an infrastructure management plan for the city, which would include the sewers, the storm drains, and the pavement. And that we sort of have to sort of be moving in that direction, and I believe probably as rapid as we can, I think would be the intent. But that is, again, subject to your schedules and everything you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, again, the idea of this committee is, you know, as you review the staff report, the mission of this group is very broad, and there are going to be a lot of different engineering issues that come up through the years that will be brought to this committee. For example, you know, we've got the storm drain collapse issue. We've got in the past we've had that retaining wall over near Cannon that's collapsed a couple of times. We've had sinkholes in like on Valley Street recently. Things will come up where we'll need some specialized or some engineering expertise, and it's basically, you know, we're the brain trust. You guys are the brain trust.
If no further discussion, we'll move on to the infrastructure overview. And I assume that's Mr. Akram's area of expertise.
Okay. We'll start with the street projects. And the city, every 2 years, as part of the requirements for also the OCTA and Measure M requirements, that we develop a pavement management plan. So we do survey all the streets and to determine the conditions of the pavement. And this is a summary of the pavement management plan that was developed in 2016. And at that time we did a very extensive one, which is, you know, the whole entire network is about 68 lane miles, which is approximately 36 center lanes. What we did, as probably everybody knows, we divide the street into segments, pavement segments, and there is actual visual inspection of the pavement itself and the condition of that. And it's rated from 0 to 100. 100 is the best, and 0 is, it's like school homework. And in addition, last time we did a Dynatest. So we had a company comes in and do a deflection testing on those older streets, really, on the pavement sections. So in addition to the visual inspections, we did the Dynatest inspection on that. Overall, the city condition out of 100, we comes out about 83 out of 100. In comparison to the various different cities within the county, it is in a good condition. The county, matter of fact, we did a comparison with that, the county, as an average of the whole county, came out around 80. Fullerton was the lowest percentage, which had 59, city of Fullerton. And the highest was Cyprus, which was 92. Yeah. So just to give you an idea of that. But as an average of all the city in the county, it was about...
So for clarification, you could have some streets in Villa Park that are in the 50s. You're talking an average here. Correct. So that's really important to know, because we do have several that are in the 50s. So it isn't...
Yeah, I mean, yes, we're talking about the whole network as a network.
And were the streets cataloged with their individual ratings or how?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
We divided it in approximate 278 sections, okay. So each pavement segment has its own rating.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Did you do 100% sampling or just...
100% is that when a street is a completely new constructed
or... No, he's going to do sampling.
Did you do 100% sampling?
Yes.
Or you did a 50?
No, we did 100%.
And you did Dynatest? Did
Dynatest
100% coverage?
That is correct.
Okay. That's
yes.
Great.
We did more testing on the arterials than on residential. Residential, for the Dynatest, we did samples. But the actual arterials... and collectors, we did on every street a few samples in there.
Okay. Okay. Can I ask one quick question? Of all the streets in the city, how many generally, or approximately how many streets are categorized as poor at this time? Because remember, it's all from the date of the PMP, so it's aged just since that time. So those that may have been on the cusp of fair or good have probably slipped a few notches and possibly into the poor condition. So do we know how many streets in our city right now are categorized or fall into the poor PCI index?
Yes. Matter of fact, we will be doing also another survey prior to June, so we can meet also the Measure M requirement, because as I mentioned, every 2 years we have to do that. There are a few streets which is we're in the 50s, and a matter of fact, I have a list of... And we did include those, all the streets that are within the 50s and 60s. We included them in that 2017-18 street rehabilitation projects. So those is to be, now they're under design, and they should be going out for bidding in early spring in order to be constructed.
The council set aside a little over 800,000 toward a street rehabilitation project, and as part of that, that's a combination of Measure M funds, general funds, etc. They identified the targeted streets that should be done, and so Akram is provided, so the council's approved the list. So this, the design on these streets is currently in process, right?
As correct.
I understand.
Yes.
We went out to bid for the design firm to get those. So these are that will be constructed in by June of this year. These will be repaired or resurfaced or whatever.
Yeah.
But it does. But you're right. Some of the streets that were previously above might have slipped at this point, and there's some issues that we'll obviously deal with.
And one of the things how we really look at these. Which street that we're going to do rehabilitation on them. In addition to the pavement management, which has a seven-year program of doing the street based on the program, the PM, we use the...
Micro paver.
And based on that, but we looked, in addition to that, we look at the other utilities projects, the underground utilities project, which is sewer, or stone drain project and so on. So we kind of like, make some changes from what the plan or the program is projecting, and we follow whatever, if there is any utilities, underground utilities projects, then we do those, we want to do those first before we pave and so on, so we don't end up paving and then come and retrenching the streets. So in other words, we don't follow the program exactly 100%. We modify it according to what the other plans schedule is, and also in addition we go visit the streets at that time to determine if there is any need to modify or expedite one project versus another or delay the other. The other thing is that we look at if we're doing a one or two streets within a neighborhood, and there's a couple of more cul-de-sacs left in there, we include them, so this way the whole neighborhood is completed and done. You might see in this list Aubrey some Sherman. Of the groups, and some of them you might see it 80,
yeah.
Which is higher than what's the other ones. Mm-hmm. But it's where we're included in order to complete that neighborhood. So this way it is done. And when we come up with a maintenance program in the future, they all have the same conditions as close as possible. So that's the street rehabilitation.
We have one other element of our street rehab budget, and that is I think it was last year, the year before, we started setting aside some money just to do specific repairs. Where, like, for example, if you've got a certain area of a street that's got subsidence and the asphalt's coming apart, we've got money for AFRM to go out and put together a project to repair that. And you know, that's something that I don't think we had previously, but we're trying to fix things so that those problems don't expand. Try to catch them, and so that we can continue, that street can stay in operation without falling apart until we can do a full street rehab on that.
And that's because we don't have a maintenance crew, so there is some money set aside to do some patching or any areas that is there's real bad alligator cracking that needs to be taken care of, and it's not listed in the next few years as part of the rehabilitation projects.
So as part of this pavement management, do you have a list of prioritizing which streets you want to be done and when you're going to be doing it?
Yeah, in the pavement management, it gives you a 7-year plan.
Right, but do we?
We do, yeah. I mean, if you want, I'd be glad to, if anybody is interested.
No, the list basically, usually, typically what, you know, you've done it in Cyclone,
yes.
Where you have a list of, okay, street A, B, C is next, B, C, D, E, F, G will be next.
Yeah, I mean, there is the program, it's giving us per year for 7 years. As I said, we go through them and we modified it according to the other utilities, because it's in that payment management program software does not allow, unless we come in and change our priority and force it to say, okay, we're going to do this street, this street, this street, this street. So we're not at that point where we have all the different programs in to include it. So that's why we modify it and so on. And every 2 years, we upgrade it in order to do that.
So
but yes, we do have.
The answer is yes.
We do have.
Yes,
yes.
So you do have.
Have
a list that
yes.
basically says, okay,
correct.
In the next 3 years, we're going to be doing street ABC.
Yes,
yeah.
That is correct.
Okay,
yes.
So did we get a list of that?
Yeah, I can send those for the next...
Yeah,
yeah,
so we can.
No problem.
And the current design, you said your firm is doing the current design?
Yes, the Civil Source is doing the street improvement.
Is that normally, are you doing like a mill and replace, or are you doing a full replacement? What type of repair that you...
It varies depending on the condition of the street. So there might be some areas where it is, milling and overlay. Mm-hmm. Or some just grind the edges and overlay it. That's in addition to R&R of certain bad spots and so on.
Okay.
In some places where it is, like for example, 83 and so on, it just slurry.
Okay.
So it varies. So there are some areas.
So Valley, for instance, we had a sinkhole there, so there's extra work going to be done to evaluate Valley because we had a sinkhole. Actually, it's one of many sinkholes over the years, so there's a whole investigation and discussion on that one, separate from some of the other streets.
Is that investigation a geotechnical investigation?
Yeah, there will be some soils tests done boring.
Yes, as everyone knows, PMP is really just a visual on the surface type of inspection. And we know notoriously in Villa Park there are sections of the city that where people's foundations are cracking up, and we know that the soils are inherently bad in those areas, like James Street and up in that area. So we may want to possibly look or consider in those poorer sections of town that maybe we want to spend a little bit more money, because no consultant can see underground without some sort of a coring. So who's making up the new sections for these rehabbed or these localized R&R? Is it just to throw it out in the air, or is it based on some, either record information or some underlying or as-built or old geotechnical reports that tell us, this area, because it's bad soil, we're going to need a little extra deep lift to make it last at least 10 years. I think maybe we need to pay closer attention to at least the poor areas that we know about in the city. And where there's visual obvious visually there's something wrong, like a sinkhole, then perhaps a harder look at the geotechnical conditions in those areas would be worth the time and effort. The last thing we want to do is throw good money, you know, after bad. We want to do, if we're going to do it, if we're going to fix it, we need to fix it right, in my opinion. So perhaps something.
Just to clarify, we're not doing any geo reports for any of these streets that is being under design right now. There are some. There is. We're doing a soils report, which is core. You know, take some borings in that, but not a complete geo report to see if there's any landslides or any anything like that, or any movement of the area or that. I mean, that becomes, you know, really more than what for a street rehab project is, unless we know that that area is moving, you know. Like, for example, in Valley, where we have, we had sinkholes at various locations over the years that I've been here, the last time, which is a few months ago, and we dug it up and so on. I mean, the first thing we were worried about, the, you know, there's any utilities, wet utilities might be, you know, leaking or something. We've checked all the underground utilities. Everything is okay. And we dug up the sinkhole, and we dug up even further, and it's completely dry. And what we notice is really, it is a sewer line, and it's, whenever it was constructed, it was not properly compacted or even filled. We saw a lot of different, you know, asphalt chunks and things like that, and I'm assuming then that's what's really causing it over the years to. To settle and so on, and we fixed the last section and so on, and most probably now with this project that we've gonna complete the other trench also to clean it out and recompact it, so this way we don't have that sinkhole occurs one more time in another location in the, you know, in on there. And one of the things is also what we try in the streets is we look at the drainage and anything that needs also, if it requires curb and gutters, certain areas, mainly for drainage. The cities so far, they're not, you know, they don't like of putting a curb and gutter.
Yeah, the city does not require curb and gutter
installation. So in most of the places, we try to protect, you know, or at least to get the water flowing close to where the gutter is, supposedly. And so you'll see that in some places, if there is an existing curb, we try to, as much as possible, to make that connection. Otherwise, if it's not, if we're not able to, we'll put in some kind of a asphalt berm or something is to take care of the drainage, so it wouldn't be flowing all over the place. So that's part of the street projects. So we're looking into that and so on. And surely we're required to meet the ADA requirements. Mm-hmm. So putting ramps as needed, in, you know, with the truncated domes and so on. We just finished a street project, which is Taft. And it's been paved from Santiago all the way to Lemon. That's including the median has been the curb median has been raised in order to, you know, after you putting the another 2 inches becomes flush, mm-hmm. you know, with the street. So we modified that.
Will we have the opportunity as a committee to review the plans before they go out to bid, or? What is our involvement in those? And the main reason I ask is as far as our city goes, and I see it in a lot of other cities too. They don't always consider drivability, and City of Orange is like notoriously bad about that, especially in the last 5-8 years. They just decide, yeah, we're going to just grind an overlay, cap it. So what happens is all of a sudden their bike lanes are like 10 and 15%. Can't open your door when you park in front of the house. The doors are swinging open. The kids' strollers are taken off in the street. And the bike lanes, which are limited to 5%, they, you know, people are trying to ride their bikes down the street, and the street's like this. And they have no clue. And the worst part is you get to intersections or driveways, much like we have on Taft at the high school. I drove that stupid exit driveway for 4 years. I scraped my car almost every morning because the driveway is oversteep. And the problem is, if we're not careful at looking at how we grind and overlay, you just make the bottoming. I mean, and there are a lot of Porsches and nice cars in this city, and it's just a matter of time before people start noticing and complaining. Yeah, the street looks good, but I can't get out of the driveway because I'm scraping every single time.
Not only that, not just complaining, but potentially filing claims.
Right.
That's obviously something that we don't want to waste money.
So drivability is a big issue, I think, as far as street rehab. And the problem I'm seeing is that not everyone pays attention to that. And I think that's more critical than the black look of the street afterward, is how it performs for everyday use.
We can certainly share the design with you before we go to bid. Our goal would be to get out in April for bid, so we have some time. And I think they're pretty close to design completion, so we have adequate time built in the schedule. So I think, depending on your schedules, and workload.
What does city normally do? Like, do you check somebody else's plans? Or, I mean, I'm assuming you don't have staff to really, technical staff to do the reviews, right?
Well, I think that was sort of one of the ideas of creating the committee here, was to rely on and have some extra set of eyes and experts looking at this. I think that's... Mm-hmm. So right now it's...
Normally I do.
Oh, you do the plan? Okay. It.
Yeah. But again, it's with the limited time that I have.
So what we're trying to do is get some, I think the mayor said it, get some extra expertise and give you guys exactly what you're saying. Right. Hey, look at this, don't forget that.
Right.
So I think we'd like
to spend all that money on a major street rehab and not fix a small thing.
Did you volunteer us to do plan checklist? Is that what you did?
Uncompensated, no less.
Yeah.
All of us. We all have expertise, and I'm hoping everyone will.
And it's true what you said on Taft at the high school. We did modify and regraded
some of them.
Exit.
We didn't do all of them because the school was redoing a remodel.
Yeah.
Right.
So they've asked to hold off on some because they want to deal with new entrances and things. So.
But we did one of the driveway that she's talking about is the exit, even though we didn't change the driveway itself, but it is steep, and so we did regraded the street itself.
Yeah.
So this way, in order for them to get out. But
well, your kid graduated, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, doesn't help her.
Doesn't care.
The front bumper that scrapes costs a lot of money.
Well, a couple of additional bits of information. Perhaps we could share maybe you already planned to, but the findings of the pavement assessment that was done a year or two back. Also, we've... maybe it was associated with that report. There was a maintenance report saying, you know, when each of the streets were last maintained. Unfortunately, our records only go back to 1980 from what I saw, and looks like there are a number of streets that were had not been touched since 1980 or before. So, I think that'd be useful information for the committee to have. Also, we went on an infrastructure tour with the interim city manager a year ago. And as we were going through this, Akram pointed out that one of the challenges that we're seeing with our streets over the past couple of decades is trash trucks have gotten a lot larger and heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And on the end of the cul-de-sacs, we're seeing a lot of wear. And he suggested at that time, you know, we were just in a bus, but he just verbally said, well, maybe one of the things we could do is put, you know, increase the thickness of the asphalt, and maybe that's something we could be discussing as, you know, to support ACRM so that we can reduce our long-term maintenance needs.
Yeah, that's usually, it's done like with the mill and the overlay project, so you mill a little bit, but then you put up more than what you mill, so you basically increase your thickness of the asphalt and stuff, I think. Yeah, that's definitely...
And one of the things which is, I'd like to also utilize rubberized asphalt, because this way you don't have to add too much thickness, and then all of a sudden you'll have a larger lip at the driveway. So it's and as everybody knows that the rubberized asphalt comes out approximately 1 inch is equivalent to 1.5 or 2 inches of regular AC. So that gives it more structural
strength,
and strength for the...
It's also quieter, isn't it? It's also quieter?
Yes, it's quieter, and which means also people will drive faster. Sorry. I mean there's...
On the curve.
You know,
it looks really nice.
That's what enforcement is for.
The rubber looks really nice, and it's a flexible type of pavement, and I think everyone knows that it's made to help prevent cracking.
Right.
Not so much to provide structural stability, and actually maybe for trash truck movements, unless the structural integrity of the section is good, that flexible is just going to push and shove, depending on, you can't put more than two inches is the maximum allowed by Caltrans. So it'll have to be looked at, I think, and considered, but it's not the cure-all for the trash truck problem.
Yeah.
And you'll see that at a lot of major arterials in Orange, let's say, where at all the intersections, there's rutting, and it's from all that heavy trash truck load pushing it up, and that's kind of the same thing that we're seeing in the city and the cul-de-sacs.
So probably more expensive too, right? Rubberized asphalt.
Yes.
It is slightly more expensive.
It's about $5 to $6 a ton.
Okay.
More. Sometimes it might go up to $10 a ton, depending on the quantities.
What percent higher is that per ton? What percent higher is that per ton? Is it 20% more per ton?
Now it's about $80.
It's basically, it's like $90 versus $70, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Okay.
It goes with the price of oil, too.
Yeah.
And so it depends on the quantity, too.
Okay.
Question, do some cities require smaller trash trucks to... when they go out to bid, to...
I haven't seen anyone get away with that.
Yeah,
because everyone would love to have that, because everyone's streets are getting torn up.
Right.
And the TIs, you know, the Dynatest and all of that is great for arterial highways and major streets, but really our loads in Villa Park is really trash truck loads. That is the major. Yeah. We don't have big school bus loads, really. We don't have heavy traffic loads like major arterials or even like Santa Ana, downtown Santa Ana, but... For us, the design is really kind of revolved about structural integrity related to those trash truck loads, primarily.
I've heard that some cities have a surcharge on their trash haulers to address some of the costs for... Have you heard of that?
I've heard it like floating around as discussions and so on, but I haven't heard of anyone actually strong-arming the trash haulers to actually get money out of them for that. So it's a nice idea.
One of the things too, and you guys probably hear about this, the whole, the state legislature and the CalRecycle, et cetera, we're going to have CalRecycle programs that are going to increase our costs to the homeowners anyway, because organic recycling is becoming a very big issue. And in the next couple of years, there may be new trash bins that you all have to have. And it's going to have to be passed, the expense will be passed on to the homeowner. So this is, you know, it's in dealing with them, you know, where we got just a mandate letter the other day saying that we have to have something by April, and we have a program for the commercial, but it's, and we advise them, but it's just, I would warn you that some of this is you know, when you create a surcharge, mm-hmm. these trash companies just pass along.
Sure, yeah,
so, you know, the residents are going to bear this cost. It isn't, and they'll admit it. In dealing with the trash company, they flat out admit it, saying your residents aren't going to like when you increase our rates because we're just going to, you know, they increase their rates and they're built in. So that's sort of what happens with that thought. It's you're right, but I think they sort of acknowledge that the trash companies aren't going to lose money on the deal.
They never do.
They're not going to lose money on the deal.
They never lose money.
It is sort of like when you talk about the recycling, they say, oh yeah, you're going to have to buy this. I said, well, what do you guys pay for? Well, we don't pay for anything. This is a mandate you guys pay. Mm-hmm. So this is sort of, we need to be careful of that, because eventually the trickle down is all of us paying.
Nothing's free. Yeah.
Is rubberized being used now on these current streets?
Yeah.
And on the past, okay.
Yes.
And so another problem that we see with rubberized maybe is that when Serrano or anyone else comes in to fix a valve that's leaking or so on, they generally don't like to patch with rubber because they can't get tonnage,
small amount.
So they end up patching our streets with conventional anyways. Mm-hmm. So it looks great and it stays black longer, but I don't know. Maybe we should all think about...
Yeah. Are you getting any rebates because of the rubberized asphalt?
We did get a couple of grants for rebate and so on.
So that was the motivation for using it.
Well, as Leah has mentioned, it has a lot of different benefits. Yeah. You know, on utilities, like, for example, we have the gas company is changing their main line, and the street was repaved by rubberized patrician. We're requiring them to repave that whole section because it's a long street. You know, it's 12, we're requiring them to grind 12 inches for the whole length. But yes, on small patches, it's very difficult to get a rubberized, you know, for, you know, half a ton or a ton, you know, around, you know, that's, so we end up with regular AC on that.
So yes. Does the city have a moratorium on, like, let's say we pave the street today, and tomorrow a utility decides, oh yeah, we're going to replace this line. Does the city have, like, a rule that says you can't open the street for 5 years?
Normally, yes, I do. Anytime any of the utilities comes in for an encroachment permit, if it is within 3 to 5 years, you know, we don't allow them unless it is an emergency. There's a leak in the gas line, so you say, go ahead, you know. So, yes, it is, and they're aware of, there isn't an official moratorium, but we do have a moratorium.
You can hold back the permit, you're saying?
Yes, I hold it on the permit. That is correct.
Yeah, because Obama passed that thing about the Broadcom lines.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, if it is an internet thing, you can't really stop them. So other cities like San Francisco started it. They started doing the moratorium officially.
Mm-hmm.
So... something to think about.
Yeah.
Should we move on to storm drain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Storm drain. Well, we did also let me pass this. And we just completed the storm drain master plan just recently. And this is the report itself without not including all the other calculations and so on. So, but if anybody is interested in that, I'll be glad to somehow put it on a, send it digitally. So unless somebody wants a hard copy, I'll be glad to. It's about 600 pages. But this is the written portion is of it. And the bottom line in there, it is, you know, looked at the capacity of the storm drains and also the conditions of those existing drain system. And if you look at page 21, is more or less is a list of the priority project that is needed within the city, and also the estimated cost in there. So, and if, you know, if you want,
is that somebody's phone? Or? Yeah. Somebody's going to call. I don't want them to miss the call. Yeah.
I'm trying to see if this is included a map of, yeah, there is a map that shows that figure 3, it shows all the different storm drains, the major storm drain that we have in the city. And as I mentioned, with the capacity and so on, we have some areas where does not have the proper capacity in order to handle all the storm drain, I mean the drain and the drainage, and that part of it is owned by the city, mm-hmm. but at least some of them is also leads to a county facility, and that's what part of the collapsed Mesa Henderson storm drain. It is a city facility, and it is a CMP pipe, 90 inches CMP. And over the years, you know, it none of our CMPs were maintained. There was some, I shouldn't state. Okay. There
you need to be careful, yeah, because the Mesa Henderson is a potential, what is a litigation issue. The owner has expressed the indication she's already filed a claim against the city, and it's with our insurance. So it's a closed session item, so we need to be careful. And I'm just caution all that some details that are probably not appropriate to talk about, but in general, it's, we've talked about the maintenance issue, I think is fair, but I don't think we should get too much into specifics or what the city's actions are going to be. At this point, because I don't want you all to be in court testifying, if we can all avoid that.
But the bottom line is really because of the heavy rain that's this and the intensity of that storm that we had last year, and there has caused the CMP to collapse in few areas within the private easement. At the private property, and during that that storm, the city had a private contractor and the county to come in and remove the existing pipe in order to provide some kind of a earth channel to at least to maintain the flow of the water and the rain. Without causing any additional damage to the property. The city has been working with FEMA and the state OAS try to get as much as possible funding for the restoration of that system. However, in order to prevent any additional erosion or any problems within for this rainy season, the city did a temporary improvements, and we've put in about approximately 2 to 4 inches, depending on the area of concrete at the bottom of the existing, the remaining CMP pipe, and also in the dirt channel, and also shotcrete the edges of the earth channel, and this way, at least to in case for the rainy season, for this rainy season, the water will flow without doing any damage or cause any erosion of the area until the design is fully designed and the restoration of a replacing that pipe, you know, hopefully, you know, in spring or in this summer. We're looking at replacing it with a concrete pipe, as so, you know, and since that existing CMP pipe, it connects to a concrete pipe further in the outlet, and it connects also to the county's system. So that's the intent of the city, is to replace it with a concrete pipe within that existing easement within the private property.
So that would that be all the CMP that's in there, or just the part that failed, or?
Well, it's there is still a portion of existing CMP under a tennis court, existing tennis court, private tennis court. So, you know, our recommendation is also to remove that and make it completely concrete.
Yeah, a few years later, you may have to go back again if
correct.
You leave it there.
Correct.
Is that project currently on the summary priority projects?
This is, I think it is.
The red
yes,
rectangular area, I think it's.
It is.
The place Mesa, open channel. That's the one.
The one.
Yes. That includes the tennis courts?
Doesn't it?
That's probably where we should probably not have a further discussion at this
okay.
point, because it is potential subject of litigation.
Oh,
okay.
But the pipe itself, it includes. I can answer that question.
Okay.
I that's the we will take care of our responsibilities, and I can leave it like that. I think that's our safe
okay.
comment. And I really do want to protect, because there's a lot more to it. But it's in there.
Yeah,
it's your question, it's in there.
She is my neighbor, so I think you already made that disclaimer. So.
Yeah.
Right. Further discussion on the storm drain issues at this time?
I think my only point I would like to say is, if you look at the value, to put it in perspective, the city has a general fund budget of about $3 million. A year. That's an annual budget. $4 million when you add all the extra, you know, other funding sources, etc. But if you look at some of the price tags of those, you can see that this is not a one-year, let's one and done, let's get it prioritized and done. So the council has been very, very good about trying to set up a plan of how we deal with this, and that's where we're going to need some review and help on your part, because it's not just prioritization, but it's within a very limited resource pool that we have. So I would just offer that we're not a big city. We don't have unlimited resources, and that's sort of, when you look at these price tags, you can get sticker shock very quickly.
Well, actually, perhaps at our next meeting, we could have just a quick review of the city budget, just to put it in perspective, you know, how little we've got to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an understanding of where other funding can come from, too.
Yeah, if there is,
yeah. Self support.
Yeah, opportunities.
And,
yeah.
We can do that. We'd be happy to do that.
So, yeah, that would be helpful. Because I don't think anyone here has studied the city budget in detail, so we don't know how much currently is being allocated for the different infrastructure.
There's a lot of things you can do if you've got plenty of money,
right.
But if you don't have money, okay, how can we piece things together?
And I would offer, like, if you say, for instance, just to give you sort of an overview back of the envelope, context, we pay our largest single priority project or expenditures of our $3 million budget is law enforcement, and we're spending $1.5 million plus for that. So when you start looking at our budget of $3 million, you start saying, okay, you really don't have much here. So we rely already on alternate funding sources to the extent there are some other options. But I think that's an excellent idea. So we'll present that and we'll get that at the next meeting.
Yeah, and shows why this committee is particularly important for us to, you know, we don't have the resources to go out and, you know, hire a lot of consulting support, and but we still have a lot of significant issues to deal with that require some good thinkers like you guys.
So that, I think that the context is, it's not, it'd be great if we had a million or two for storm drains, but that's got to cover pavement, that's got to cover sewer, that's got, you know, those, it sort of spreads real thin real fast. So we'll walk you through how we've approached things up to this point, at least my predecessors have, and any advice that you have, and it will be appreciated. But again, you will be surprised at how little there is room to play with as far as saying, let's put this money there, or let's put that there. So the council's been very expedient in putting money aside and doing the things and prioritizing infrastructure issues. But you start seeing why there aren't a lot of certain other things that happen in the city.
Right.
When you see that we're priorities because we don't have those luxuries.
Okay.
I would, just as another thing too, and I'm remiss to tell, the town center, you're going to see over the next month, you'll see a repavement. That is exclusively done by private owners and not by the city. All right? They're milling and going to put in a whole new redo it starting the 22nd, or actually starting this weekend, they'll be doing in the back during the daytime hours, and then at nighttime in the front section, they'll be getting into some of it. But I would offer that because people come in here all the time and say, when is the city going to repave the town center? Absolutely, the city's never going to do it because the city doesn't own it. We own this parking lot right back here, and that's the extent of the county, of the city's ownership. So I just want to clarify that when you guys start getting and hearing things about what's going on in town center, what's the city doing now? Nothing. That's pretty much the answer. We are permitting or allowing them to do that, and the 11 different owners that there. And I'm remiss because I want to make sure that's going to happen very soon, and you guys are probably going to get some questions, and you know a little bit about what's going on. All we've done is make sure the park, you know, there's a parking plan, and there's, you know, there accessibility issues and those kinds of things, and flow. But we don't control what's on Ralph's and the various owners get to
decide. You said there are 11 different owners of the town center?
There are 11 different owners of the town center.
Hmm.
It was, you know, historically, I've learned a lot here, and this was not developed all at once. It was incrementally developed, and each development was purchased and developed by new owners who have subsequently built on or owned or whatever. And no one has sold their controlling interests to one major party. So they have different property owners as well.
Mm.
So it's not just owners, but you have different property owners, and the largest single owner is Kroger's or Ralph's. But again, you have individual parties owning this and doing, and so getting them to do almost anything, I sort of commend them for coming up to a plan. And Ralph's, Kroger's forced the issue and said, we need to repave this thing, it's a mess. But we don't control parking enforcement, nor do we control, like, if somebody's driving really fast.
Vehicle code's not applicable on private property except under a very, very few.
So if you'll see somebody come in and say, I just saw someone run a stoplight in your parking lot, and the deputy look at them and say, okay, we'll warn them, but there's nothing they don't get to control. So, but anyway, I do want to let you know, because the pavement you're going to see in here, and that's the first reaction, is why isn't the city, or what is it, why didn't the city do this or that?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah.
Any further discussion on storm drains?
One last question I want to ask you is, it looks like the county owns storm drain lines and the city owns storm drain lines are very intermingled. It's like,
yes,
section is somehow owned by the city, but to the right or upstream and a downstream is owned by a county. That's not correct. Too typical, I would think.
There is a few county lines or system in the city, and we connect to it. So that is true. And that's, a matter of fact, one of their county system, you notice in that it is deficient with all the, the flow in there. We've even tried a few, over the years to have them upgrade that, but it is, you know, how the county, they put it on a list and so on, and it is our project. It's was low priority in in comparison to the rest of their county system.
I would offer,
but yes, we do connect
some of the projects and things that we're doing. We're going to meet county standards and approach the county about potentially assuming ownership responsibilities. So in other words, this isn't something the city, this is not our primary business. So if we can get it to their standards, minimal as whatever they may be, can we transfer ownership? And they've got certain standards they're willing to accept and not accept because they have a tremendous deficit in their in their plan. And you talk to, sort of my background, talking to Shane over there in OC Public Works. But we have, and the mayor's encouraged that, we're going to try and make our best effort to say, hey, look, we met your standards. It's your, this stretch is ours, but it leads into yours, and what we do affects you. So why don't you just, you know, and we assume that transfer the easement's over and those responsibilities. So we are going to make that concerted effort, but at a minimum, they're going to require us to bring it up to their standards, which we don't have at this point. I'm pretty sure they're not going to take on the liability and say, we'll take as is. So we're going to have to, it's going to be a negotiable type of thing. But you're right, there's so much intermingling. If you look at it, it's a lot. And I'm thinking that's actually all over the county. I don't think that's just...
it's everywhere. As a matter of fact, even some of the flow is coming from City of Orange.
Yeah, the other cities you're carrying over.
Our system. So yes, you know, I mean, and that happens everywhere. In the county, in Orange County and all the other counties.
They have a typical, the county only takes over systems that are, what is the width?
Over, I think it's 96, but they do have system that is smaller than that.
But it's, so it's not, it requires extraordinary, you know, approvals on their part, but it's possible. It's present. And it's a very good point, and I'm glad you picked that up. The mayor has talked about that since I've been here. Over the year, we talked about let's get this and transfer because it just
especially if you own that, you know, center section. I mean, that's to me is like doesn't make sense. If you're tying to a county system, you're taking your city's water, dumping in there. That's fine, but if the county is bringing Orange water, then there's a little section you're carrying that water into city's system, and then again becomes a county. I mean, that part I was thinking, like, you know, we should have a good position to.
Well, we believe we have a good position, but
typically, like what you see with let's say developments down in South Orange County, a developer will come in and they'll put in a storm drain system and they'll build it in consultation with the flood control district. They'll build it to their standards with the idea of once it's completed, they'll dedicate it to the flood control district and walk away from it. And the flood control district takes over ownership and operation.
Yeah.
And this is the same kind of idea. It's like, you know, even though it's about 300 foot long stretch, it's like, you know, we're not in the business of maintaining large flood control facilities.
So some of the things, in even designing this, we're talking to the county and saying, having them look at sort of the plans and say, does this, you know, because you don't want them saying, well, if you'd have done this beforehand, we'd have taken it.
Yeah,
that's the discussion we want to get away from. We want to get them and say, no, you know, they understood what we were doing and went into it, and, you know, they're...
And we're in the flood control district. We pay flood control taxes, so it's not inappropriate for them to take it over.
Okay. Anything further on storm drain? Hearing none, let's discuss the sewer system master plan improvements.
All right. We do have also a sewer master plan, which we updated about 3-4 years ago. And every year we try to do the streets, I mean the sewer system. In there we do have a project that is, we will be advertising for construction, for bidding. And that's why, as I mentioned, we try to do the sewer before we do the streets. So this way we can, if there's any streets that need to be paved and so on. Anything missing?
There's more?
Yes, more.
Thank you.
Now we're all set.
Because I did 10 copies. So those attached, you'll see a lot of, you know, the street set is being proposed, and some of them, it varies depending on the conditions of the pipeline itself. Some might require a complete replacement. Other locations where is it just a spot repairs, and also there are some connections where it is just a minor cracks and so on that we're lining those pipes. So it varies depending on where it is and so on. And as I said, we're coordinating these the sewer projects with the street projects in order to do the paving right after that. Okay? And this is, if you have any questions regarding these.
So these are bid separately? Sewer project is bid separately?
Correct.
Than
the sewer is being bid separately, and after they're constructed, the streets will come in afterwards.
Or were you asking each portion of the streets bid separately, or was it?
Yeah, I was wondering, like, when you do a segment.
Is the whole project?
Is the whole project?
No. Yeah, I mean, the sewer is one project.
One project, but the timing is sort of flexible. We really have to figure out how they match it with the...
with the streets?
Streets.
So, I mean, it'll be about within a couple of months right after each other. Okay. So that's the intention.
Wouldn't you save money if you had them at the same time? For branching and paving and all of that?
It can be, I mean, as one, we can do it as one big project, as sewer and so on. But we've noticed is that since all these projects is more of relining and spot repairs and so on, we're getting a lot of good prices from the utilities, you know, underground utilities contractors, versus putting lumping it with the streets. Because it's a good size. If it is a one or two small sections, then we do it as part of the street projects, you know. But, you know, at least I found for this size is to have them each one separately.
And how often do we camera the lines and do a condition assessment?
Yes. As part of the master plan update, we did video all the lines, and that's based on that. That's the priorities of the project that we're doing.
And how frequently do we camera the lines?
We didn't do it. I mean, we did it last time, which is about, about 4 years.
Okay.
Do we have a regular program to do it every 4 years?
Not on the sewer. It's that probably it's 7 years. Normally for sewer, it's not needed. You know, normally the master plans for sewers is about 7 years.
7 years.
Is somebody paying attention to the health department requirements for separation? I mean, I don't see a lot of dimensions, but like on Vita, it looks like the sewer line is getting awfully close to water main lines.
We're not changing the location of the existing, so it is within the existing alignment.
So why not, if we're replacing like that whole block of sewer line, why not move it so we get health department clearance? Why not move it away? We have the space, like on the north on Vita. Why should we be...
On Vita, we're only doing it in sewer spots.
Santiago's even worse, but...
Santiago, you're right on top of the water line, which is, I think it's not...
It's not allowed.
Allowed, yeah.
By health department standards.
As I mentioned, is really we're not doing any changes. There's... Which one you're talking about? Santiago, there's...
Yeah, San Diego, you're doing a replacement.
That one is a replacement, yes. That's what's existing. I mean, there is something which...
That's not an excuse, though.
I mean,
if we have the opportunity to clean up... I don't want my water poisoned with the sewer line springs a leak.
Right.
So
I think it's a fantastic discussion point. Obviously, there are some costs that have to be taken into consideration, but I think... people getting sick is not acceptable, and the potential for that to happen is elevated by having them in such close proximity.
And whether you trench, you know, we're talking maybe an extra manhole or two, mm-hmm. so we're not talking about exorbitant costs.
Right.
But if we have the space on the other side of the street, or just shift a manhole or add one manhole, mm-hmm. and we clear up everything, I mean, we meet regulations and standards, and you know, for a minimal cost, we can actually make it a better. Well, maybe the plan should just be reviewed one more time for health department standards, and see if separations can be achieved, especially in the blocks where we're reconstructing like the whole block of line.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
What is the separation requirement?
Right.
What is it?
It has to be
10 feet.
Yeah. Clear.
11 feet satellite equipment, typically. And basically, if you're within those zones. And this zone, I think this is like a big no-no. This one, probably was built like when God made dirt.
That's grandfather, but I think,
you know.
Moses, we can see that. Maybe that's a suggestion as we go up. Yeah. We'll talk around another.
Take another look. Just take a look at it.
Is that something I suppose we could coordinate with the water department, the Toronto Water District?
They would love it, I would say. If they, not only would it ease their maintenance abilities to have that line further away from their main, if they ever sprung a leak, I mean, they want to be able to trench and repair their line without hitting our sewer line or having to do special.
Would it be cheaper to relocate the water line, separate the water line from the sewer line, put the sewer line in there? Same spot.
Well, see,
the water's already there, but the sewer.
And you can just, you know, even abandon in place and then put the new line 10 feet away.
Right,
because
one of the problems with building this, the way it's shown, is as soon as you dig, and if the guy is not too careful about shoring, the water line can, you can have side pop outs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have a huge mess on your hand.
And possibly a sinkhole if enough water runs into the street. And it's just better from everyone's maintenance perspective, even regardless of health department standards, to get away from that line if possible. Mm-hmm. So
I think we should review it.
We'll look into that, and
that's a good suggestion.
I think it's in Serrano's best interest too.
And in the bigger streets, we want to be in and out of there as few times as possible. So we want the infrastructure to last as long as possible. So, and if we ever have to get in there, then at least it'll be clear so we can work on our stuff.
We don't know how big that water line is.
It doesn't
say here. But
it'd be good to show the sizes on there, too.
Yeah, we do have,
probably size? 6.
It's 8 inch.
Yeah.
I think it's 8 inch or 6.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe just the water district will move that line, and then you don't have to do anything.
To pay for it.
Yeah, there you go.
They'll pay for it.
Their kind of, their budget is very tight too.
Yeah.
I don't know the way they've been increasing our water bill.
Well,
but on the other hand, what would the cost be if we had a failure and people get
catastrophic?
Right.
So this is an excellent observation, and you know precisely why we wanted to have this kind of.
The separation, is it a radial separation or horizontal separation? I mean, if the sewer's deep and the water's shallow,
you can't put the sewer on top of the water lines.
Yeah.
And if you do, there's special. You have to. There's you can't have joints in the pipe. You have to have special.
But assuming the water line is much more shallow through there,
sewers are down, 7, 8, 10, and waters are like 40, 36 to 42, 48. So it should always, domestic water should always be on top.
Yeah.
But then it.
But if they're side by side, how is that?
Side by side, there.
There is an exhibit that basically says, you know, within the first 6 feet is no-no, and then you go on. Beyond that,
I'm just curious. I mean, maybe there's enough vertical separation where the sewer's already deeper and it's gravity.
No, there's horizontal separation too. And it's 10 foot clear.
Oh.
So usually 11 foot center line to center line.
And maybe you could provide it to our staff and they can distribute to the committee.
Okay.
Anything further on sewer at this time? Okay. Let's move on to the work plan development. The infrastructure management plan. Strategy, product and time frame.
Maybe just a suggestion, maybe better to give everybody a chance to review the documentation that they've been provided so far and then have that discussion at our next meeting.
And I was thinking, too, when we do the budget presentation, that might even help us formulate your strategy because we really sort of realize the pool of resources we have to deal with. So maybe those three items in the work plan development, we sort of digest this and decide, you know, get together sooner than later and start formulating, digesting, and saying, asking questions and saying, okay, now you sort of know what we're dealing with, and then we can develop a strategy. I think that's a great suggestion. I agree.
And also, I guess, what's existing? You know, it sounded like we have a payment management plan.
I think you have some of the material, so that's a chance to...
But in terms of GIS, does the city have anything on GIS?
No.
Nothing on GIS. No. Okay.
Yeah, the county does have a base layer that we can build on.
Okay.
They've told me at an expensive cost. They've It is. They will charge us 110% is what I was told.
Holy cow.
They're not good. They don't play in the sandbox well.
Too bad.
Well, perhaps my thoughts on the GIS is that this is a fairly small city, and, you know, we can still go the low-tech way. You know, it's not like we have a lot of people banging on the doors for as-built plans and information, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. So actually, you'd be surprised. The majority of our, we're 98% plus built out. Right. So a majority of our, what comes in is remodels and things like that, and we actually encourage it because, candidly, with property taxes being the primary way we're funded and the AV is changed when you do the remodels, that's, you know, we encourage it. But you'd be surprised at the number of people who walk in on a daily basis and say, do you have as-builts for this and that kind of thing. And you, an amazing number, you would be surprised. I'm like, wow. You know, we don't have anything. We have very little.
Okay. So all the like the county had hanging files originally before they went to GIS.
We have those.
And microfiche and all sorts of things. So the city does have all the information in place. It's just a matter of the work.
It's not systematically cataloged or anything like that.
Right.
But we have a lot of it here, there, and everywhere.
Right.
And if you have time and can look through charts and look through things, we can find some stuff. But it is not automated in any sense of the word.
Okay.
Well, for our next meetings, maybe on an ongoing basis, we can have one short presentation at each meeting about some historical issue. Like I mentioned that we have this retaining wall that has failed on us a couple times, so we can discuss that. We've got the Henderson storm drain, maybe a little more insight as to what all transpired and how that how we're dealing with that. The sinkhole issue. Apparently there are several sinkholes. Maybe just a little bit of information so as we go forward through our meetings, we'll get an appreciation of the kinds of things we deal with.
Well, nothing further?
I guess my other question is, when do we want to meet next?
Okay.
Let's get that set so that we walk out of here on our calendars.
Maybe
Paige will be joining us officially at that point. So.
General frequency that we want to meet, you know. Are
we talking about once a month?
I'll defer to you. Your schedules, you all have busy schedules. The sooner we get moving, I believe initially we'll probably have some more meetings early on, you know, and maybe as we get moving, down the road, I would envision less meetings, but initially probably a few more than less.
To get some progress.
I'd like to get some progress and movement. So.
Yeah, and also we've got our budget coming up shortly, so if we could get some guidance from this committee.
When does the budget due?
We'll start...
Yesterday.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. The budget will be coming to the council probably in March. So a little bit of that is prioritization because there's already... We sort of have... The council have made some decisions that have allocated funds. So there may not be necessarily, reallocation of a lot of funds in this budget, but prioritization within those allocations. Because, for instance, the $800,000 that we put for street pavement, we don't have another $800,000 next year. So it's a two-year sort of cycle, and we can walk through the budget. So you'll see that when we do the presentation next meeting. So anywhere from, I would hope, next 2 to 3 weeks we could meet. I don't mean, again, you guys have busy schedules. I certainly don't want to
How soon could you begin?
It seems like to me Thursdays at 7:30 a.m. are generally good for me.
Works for me.
With a few exceptions. But.
Yes. So is everyone willing to come back in 2 weeks? Thursday, same time, 7:30?
February 1st, then?
February 1st.
Is that right? Yeah, I can do February 1st.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry.
I don't. I'm one and done.
Yeah, we can welcome and say goodbye.
I'm very thankful for all your efforts and dedication.
So why don't we attend at 7:30, a good time?
7:30, February 1st.
I'm on vacation. See, there is another meeting that I'm attending at 8 o'clock.
On that day?
On that day. Is it possible then maybe the February 8th?
Yeah, I think I have a February 1st, 8:30 meeting, so maybe February 8th is better for me. But,
February 8th works for me.
Everybody, that's 3 weeks out. Yeah. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, February 8th
and
7:30.
Post meetings, and we're all agreeable to that? Everybody okay? Got it on the calendar?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, great.
All right, thank you very much. And with that, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.